having the real experience is beyond being called a Christian. You must understand how to function there. Christ is a place. So God wants a church that is in charge of the earth before he returns. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The day you got born again, you changed nationality. Yet you were sent as an apostle. You were sent as an occupational troop to bring the government of that heavenly kingdom to bear on the earth.
We're on the series. We've titled the principles and the blessings of spiritual growth. Amen. And it's been such a blessing so far, I believe. Hallelujah. You know, like I always love to say, as a believer, you must understand your call. Amen. You must understand your call. What are the things that can guarantee where you're going? What are the things that can guarantee, okay, the future that God has shown you? What are the things that can guarantee the fulfillment of your destiny? You have to pay attention to those things. Very important. You agree with me that if you neglect the call and don't pay the necessary attention to the things that are core, you will shortchange and distract yourself. Hallelujah. And there's no guarantee you will get to where God has planned for you to get to. Glory to God forevermore. And very important. So our assignment as a church, and in the course of this series, I'm going to teach us the place. What does the local church stand for? Okay. What is the responsibility of the local church to the believer? All right. What are the things that are core to a local church? And what are the things that are byproducts of an effective local church? Glory to God. Because sometimes we get distracted by other things, okay, in an attempt to solve the problems we see around us humanly. Hallelujah. Follow me this morning. All right, so in an attempt to stay with the core, there are things you must pay attention to. And we started talking about some of those things already, but we are still laying foundation. Glory to God forevermore. We say that growth, genuine growth and transformation in the kingdom is organic, not cosmetic. You remember that, right? I'm saying if you are going to experience genuine transformation, it must start from the inside. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And we say the word there is metamorpho, from where we got the biology word metamorphosis from, which I believe almost everybody is exposed to. All right, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be ye metamorpho by the renewing, anakinosis, the renovation of your mind, by assimilating certain things, by feeding on certain things, by actively renovating the inner environment. But here's the first part. Be transformed. I'm saying the transformation is a change of state that is irreversible. And we use the caterpillar and the butterfly as an example. Amen. I'm saying if what you call transformation, there is still a backward, a reversal to where you are coming from, you've not experienced transformation yet. Maybe you are tempted to put certain things on the outside, but something has not happened on the inside. Is somebody following me this morning? Once something happens on the inside and you are genuinely transformed, that is changed a form, there's no reversal. There's a complete change. Except you are saying a butterfly can become a caterpillar again. Is that possible? It's impossible. Glory to God. Why? Something happened to the caterpillar. At a point he was on the ground, crawling and feeding. We said that it is research has shown, or biologists tell us, that caterpillar stage consumes 2/3 of the entire food consumption in the life cycle. That's remarkable, isn't it? Glory to God forevermore. All right, so the things we are sharing, very critical and very important to where you are going and what God has designed for you to accomplish. Very, very important. We are addressing what makes for transformation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We also went for to talk about how that spiritual growth is not upgrading your game in religion. It's not religious adjustment. It's not having more religious outlook, but something that happens to you on the inside. We define what growth is. We also define what spiritual growth is. I gave you two definitions. What's the first one? We say spiritual growth is what? Who remembers? To develop into spiritual maturity. Who remembers? Seriously. To develop into spiritual maturity. And increase in the operations of the wisdom of God. In words, understanding, and thoughts. You got that. Number two, we said it means your degree of conformity to the image of Christ in love, power, and sound mind. All right. We went further to talk about how that this concept is not abstract, and we pinned it down to two things. We said spirituality and carnality is revealed in the thought life and in the word life. All right. The Bible says a man who is carnally minded mind the things of the flesh. And the man who is spiritually minded do mind the things of the spirit. So being spiritual has two major expressions. What is going on in your mind and what is going on in your mouth. Very important. James talked about in many things we all offend. But he that offended not in words, the same is a mature man. Teleos is a mature man and able also to bridle the whole body. Hallelujah. So it says spirituality is revealed in the thought life. The things that you mind. Because you see, this thought life and word life will control your actions. That will control your habits. That will control the outcome of your life. So it begins with that thought and the word. It's not something vague. It's not something outward. First, it's something that happens on the inside. In your mind, in your thought life, in the quality and the excellence of your thoughts. And this is connected to how the kind of information you have received and where you got the information from. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise God. We also went for to talk about the three kinds of men. Paul's three kinds of men. And John's. Okay, we say Paul and Peter describe three kinds of men. No, that was the stages. We'll talk about Paul's three kinds of men. And Paul's three stages of spiritual growth, and then Apostle John's three stages of spiritual growth. Three kinds of men. We'll talk about the natural man, a man who is cut off from God. We'll talk about the carnal man. And number three, we'll talk about the spiritual man, pneumaticus. You remember? All right, we said the natural man is cut off from the covenant of promise. He is not born again, so cannot even understand the things of the spirit. When you speak spiritual things, it don't make sense to him. And I told you how not to be surprised by certain responses from natural men, people that are not born again. So you don't let them intimidate you and you don't get surprised by their response, because the Bible says they are natural. They are natural. Psychikos, you remember? Soulish men. They relate from the arena of the soul. They have no insight into the things of the kingdom. Glory to God forevermore. So their response to spiritual things, their response to you, okay, when you have encounters with them, should not surprise you or intimidate you. You know, when we speak in tongues, some people be like, what is this guy saying? You mean saying this rubbish brings power? They are natural. The Bible says they cannot comprehend spiritual things. Hallelujah. When we talk about sowing our seed, they laugh. What do you mean by sowing your seed? You carry your money to give someone. Have you ever seen God before? They are natural. Glory to God. They don't understand spiritual things. When you talk about he that sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and you are connecting it to sowing money or material substance, they laugh. Or you talk about tithing, they just laugh. They say these are schemes by pastors to collect your money. They are natural men. Glory to God forevermore. When you talk about walking in love and God's system of relating with a fellow human being, okay, as far as the love is concerned, they are lost. They don't even understand what you're saying. Why? They are natural. Hallelujah. And then we'll talk about the carnal man. I said the carnal man is born again, but is still moved by the dictates of his flesh. And we talk about the danger of being a carnal man. He's available for Satan to use. Hallelujah. Not because he's not born again. He's born again. He loves God. But because of two things, either because he just got born again or because he has refused to subscribe to what will help him grow. And we'll talk about two kinds of babies. I think it was from there we entered into talking about the three stages of growth. The babyhood, the childhood, and the manhood stage of spiritual growth and development. Hallelujah. I'm saying all carnal men are in the babyhood stage, okay, of spiritual growth and development. And the last kind of man we talked about was the spiritual man, which we said is the Christ type of man. Okay, we said Jesus is the prototype man. God's sample son to whom we are conformed. Our spiritual development is to an image. Glory to God. I'm saying every time you are listening to God's word, okay, praying, meditating on the word of God, and your heart is hungry for more of God, hungry to grow spiritually, to develop, to do things with God, we have a prototype man, and that is Jesus. That is where our eyes are. Glory to God. No human being on earth is our ultimate example. Can I get an amen? Amen. Jesus is our ultimate example. That's the prototype man. That's God's reference. I would say Jesus is a man. He's a God man. He's 100% man and 100% God. So God gave us a sample son to whom we can be conformed. So when we read about Jesus, the historical Christ, and we read about Jesus, the resurrected Christ, we see the image to be conformed to. Can I get an amen? So when we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see Jesus in the epistles and the revelation, we see the image to whom we are conformed in words, in thoughts, in actions. Hallelujah. And that's who the spiritual man is. There's a level of development, a level of conformity to the image of God's son. Paul was praying for his children in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. He said, my little children for whom I travail in birth again until what? Christ be formed in you. So there must be a hunger. There must be an intention. That look, there's an image you are being conformed to. We have a reference point. In love, in power, in sound mind, we have a reference point. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, we got to the three stages. We said the babyhood stage, the childhood stage, and the manhood stage. And we began to talk about certain characteristics. We said, who is a baby? There are two kinds of babies in the kingdom. Number one, a baby is someone who is just born. Okay, who is just born again? That was the first kind of baby. I would say the Greeks call it brephos. That's like a neonate. The person just got born again. I would say the second kind of baby is a baby that's in the kingdom now. The person has been born again for long but has refused to grow. Has refused to grow. And we have to challenge such people to grow. Hallelujah. And some of you are here this morning. You have to be challenged to grow. And Paul calls that nepios. They are babies in understanding, even though they have been born again for long. I began to talk about the characteristics of spiritual babyhood stage. I'm saying there are good things that come with the baby, and you are not to outgrow. I remember that. The first thing we talked about was innocence. All right? We said the baby is innocent. There is no past, and you can never outgrow. You should never outgrow that understanding and revelation of innocence, even as you grow spiritually, that you never had a past in the world. Hallelujah. That Christ is your righteousness. Everything you were and you thought you did, all you did before you got born again, have been wiped out. You can't accuse a baby that is born today that he did something yesterday. Glory to God. So you never outgrow innocence. Number two, what do we say? Teachability. We say the baby is teachable. And you cannot outgrow that too. Number three, sincere faith toward God. Sincere faith toward God. I mean, you don't need a rocket science to tell you that babies have sincere faith and trust in their caregivers. Glory to God. I'm going to say you never outgrow that. And then we'll move on and talk about the things that must be outgrown. Amen. Even while you are growing and you notice them around you, you know this is part of babyhood stage. I have to outgrow this. Hallelujah. And the first thing we mentioned was naivety. Okay, naivety. That babies are naive. I'm going to say that's not good. A baby can put anything in your mouth. You have to stop them because they don't know. They cannot differentiate food from poison. Who is with me this morning? I'm saying that babyhood stage of spiritual development, people just think everybody is preaching the same thing. They can put anything in their mouth. They can listen to anybody and believe everything. I'm going to say, that is not right. Glory to God. And listen, don't forget that we're talking about healthy growth. There's unhealthy growth. Are you aware of that? Remember, even cancer is a growth. But is it a healthy growth? If our cancer grows faster than the normal cells in the body, but science has told us that cancer growth is out of the regulatory framework of the growth of the body. Why do you think your left hand did not grow longer than your right hand? Regulation, governance. There has to be a healthy growth. Why is your head not disproportionate in growth compared to the rest of your body? Governance, healthy growth. So let me just add this. When we talk about spiritual growth, remember we're talking about healthy growth. Not just you have time to pray and study and acquire knowledge and feel that you're growing. Healthy growth. And these simple signs of cancer and normal growth shows us that healthy growth happens under governance. Oh, hallelujah. It happens under regulation. It happens under authority. It does. Once it's out of regulation, authority, and governance, it becomes an unhealthy growth. Remember cancer growth. Hallelujah. So there are people, especially young people, who think they are growing because they are reading books, reading their Bible, and praying, and accumulating a lot of knowledge, but it's unhealthy. God has a system for healthy growth. Hallelujah. Give me Hebrews chapter 13. Very quickly, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 from verse 7 to 9. God has a system, a mechanism for healthy growth. He is not, okay, look at this. He said, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Two things. Number one, they teach you the word of God, but it doesn't stop there. They have the rule over you. You are under the authority. So you can choose one and leave the other. That someone is teaching you the word of God doesn't mean they have the rule over you. Doesn't mean you're under the authority. Are you listening to me? And also, it doesn't mean that everyone who teaches you the word of God, you are under the authority. But it's saying, as a believer, there must be someone under whose authority you are. Are you following me? So it's not enough to hear them speak to you. It's not enough to hear teachings. He said two things. Those who have the rule over you. He's writing to believers. And he expected that they are under authority. And he said they teach you the word of God. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Meaning their manner of life revealed that Jesus is consistent. Oh, hallelujah. Is somebody with me? Their manner of life, they lived before you. Oh, I have many things to tell you this morning. Verse 9, let me show you the connection now. He's showing you that verse 7 is the cure to being carried about with divers and strange doctrines. He said, but be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that they have the established in grace. You understand what he's saying? So a man who does not have people that have rule over them and hearing their word can easily be carried about by divers doctrines. Why do you think God put babies and children in families? For guidance. It means the only thing a child needs is not just, food is not the only thing a child needs. Talk to me, somebody. It wasn't just food that grew you and developed you. There was governance. There was when to come home. There was when to go out. Is somebody with me this morning? So healthy growth happened under governance. He said they have the rule of life, they teach you the word. He says, so that you are not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Very important. That means growth has an environment. Healthy growth has an environment. Hallelujah. Apart from the ingredients for growth, there's an environment for healthy growth. And that's what is showing us here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you don't just put everything and anything in your mouth. As you grow, you become selective. As you grow, you understand you can differentiate poisons from food. And the way to help you do that is being under authority. They are teachers that God has sent to you. You listen to them. You listen to them. You follow their body language. Who are the people that prescribe? It is from there you understand what is strange and what is diverse. It is from there you understand what is error. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. Very important. How do you pin down error and error in doctrine and people swaying you in error? Amen. Give me Jude from verse. Since I'm talking about baby who said, let me just show you this thing once and for all. Give me Jude 8 to 11. How to identify that? How to identify that? Look at this. Now, this is very important. People have asked me here and there. I decided to put it into this part of the teaching. Very, very instructive. So I want you to listen. I want you to listen. Let me say this before I read the Jude. Listen, if you're under a true pastor, he will want you to listen to others. Did you hear what I said? If you're under a true pastor, under a true teacher, he wanted to listen to others. Amen. That's very important. But yet, it's part of his responsibility to teach you who to listen to and who not to listen to. Not with names, but with signs. Is somebody with me? In fact, it's already an error when somebody is trying to feel he's the only one who is right in town. In fact, when you listen to someone or you are going for somebody's meeting who is always sounding that he's the only one who is correct, he's the only one who has the answer, that savior complex is pride and is destructive. Are you listening? Did you hear what I said? That's manifestation of pride and is very destructive. In fact, you have to run away. However, every true pastor must show you how to identify error, how to identify what to mislead you. Hallelujah. Look at this. Likewise, also, these filthy dreamers. He began to describe these people. These filthy dreamers defile the flesh. He says they despise dominion. What is dominion? Authority. They despise authority. They speak evil of dignities. Apart from criticizing politicians, they have landed on criticizing pastors. You know, I believe I've said this before. You go anywhere where they are talking about the fathers of faith in the country, run for your life. I don't care how much presence you are feeling there. I don't care how much anointing you are feeling. I don't care how many blind eyes you saw open. There's danger around the corner. There's big trouble there. They speak evil of dignities. Next verse. He said, yet Michael the archangel, he gave us an example of what happened between Michael and Satan at the disputing of the body of Moses. He said, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. You know what he's painting? A picture of authority. He said, Michael, even Michael the archangel, responded to the Adamic authority that Satan had. And let me correct that very quickly. People said it's a continuous thing. That means even Michael is the archangel, could not rebuke the devil. Okay, no. This is an interplay of authority. Let me clarify that. The Bible says in Revelation there was war in heaven. That war happened before this scene. The same Michael and his angels fought. Satan and his angels fought. What happened? Michael kicked him out of heaven. You remember that, right? Did he say the Lord rebuke you? No. But in this arena, he was contending in a sphere where there was Adamic authority. And Adam had handed over his authority to Satan. Are you listening? Through the treason in the Garden of Eden. So he had to recognize that authority. And don't forget that Adam was God's vice regent on the earth. His authority was higher than angelic authority. Amen. Study the Bible very well. You see. So that's why he's talking about contending for the body of Moses. When he wanted to raise him up and take him to heaven. Hallelujah. And then there was a contention. But here's the point. He said, even Michael recognized hidden bridge authority. That's what he's saying. He said, but they speak evil of those things which they know not. Listen, in life, you have to understand that there are many things you don't know. There are many things you don't know. Glory to God. Know when to speak with absolute authority and absolute certainty, conclusively, and know when to say, look, this is no absolute. There are things I don't know yet. Are you following me? Glory to God. He said, I speak of things they don't know. You know, some of these people have scriptures. They bring out scriptures, wrongly putting them to deceive people. Hallelujah. But what they know naturally as brute beasts and those things who corrupt, verse 11, very quickly. He said, woe unto them. I wanted to show you three things. He said, for they have gone the way of Cain. What is the way of Cain? Cain went about to slay his brother. Speaking against those. Let me just check and give you something. Slandering, speaking ill out of envy and jealousy. That's the way of Cain. So you sense that in the voice of a teacher. Keep your heart away. Slaying your brother, speaking ill, either directly or indirectly, not correcting error, not correcting the doctrine, but attacking and speaking ill. Be careful with that person. That's the way of Cain. Remember, Cain went about slaying his brother. Why? Envy. The Bible says in the process of time, certain things happen. Envy, jealousy. That's the way of Cain. And when you listen to some people, you can hear that in their voice. Listen, sweet water and bitter water cannot come from the same fountain. Are you listening to me? He said, for they have gone in the way of Cain. I'm showing you how to notice who to keep your ears away from. The way of Cain. They ran greedily after the error of Balaam. What was the error of Balaam? The gain of money. The gain of money. He despised the voice of God because of money. He went off the tangent of the path that God has set for him because of gain. Any teacher, man of God, motivated by money, driven by money, run away. Don't give your ears to them. Are you listening? What's the last part? And perished in the gainsaying of Korah. You remember Korah? The man who stood against Moses. Those who rebel against authority. Those who rebel against authority. Those who rebel against authority. He said, beware of them. They will lead you in error. So the way of Cain, the error of Balaam, the gainsaying of Korah. Hallelujah. Never forget this. Listen, God is in his body in every territory. As imperfect as the body is in every nation. There is no church in any nation that doesn't have problems. That doesn't have challenges. That doesn't have limitations. But listen, in the midst of the limitations, in the midst of the challenges, the Lamb is in the midst of the candlestand. Meaning Jesus is with his bride. So you have to learn to love the body of Christ and the leaders that God has set in the body of Christ. Glory to God forevermore. Don't stand. Listen, nothing can you can never build any move on rebellion. It will scatter. There's a man who has been talking against our father in this country. Many of the young men who were talking with him are rising against him already. And I was telling him, I said, this is what I've been saying. You can't lead anything in rebellion. You can't. There's an order in scriptures. Never forget that even the weak hand of the old prophet can bring victory. Never forget that. Moses' hand was weak. He just needed people to lift it up. Never forget that. Elijah was an angry man. Listen, if some of you watch with Elijah, I can assure you, you'll not get that double portion of anointing. But Elisha was wiser than that. What about Saul and David? I mean, the perfect example in scripture that I know of respecting the old order. Saul was the old order. In fact, the anointing had left him. But did you ever hear David speak in dishonor about Saul? Never. 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 He never spoke in dishonor. Because he knew he got at least certain impartations from him. And he understood that once anointed, always anointed. There's something the anointed confers. That whatever, oh my goodness, whatever your eyes are seeing, advise your eyes not to see the errors. David knew it. Did you know that even in death, he spoke in honor of Saul? In death, Saul that was after him to kill him. He had the opportunity to kill Saul. He didn't. In fact, cutting the edge of his garment, the Bible says his heart smote him. What a man, what a man. Remember, the Bible calls the man after his heart. God calls him the man after his heart. There's a way you shouldn't speak about authority. I don't care what you think you've seen. Are you listening to me? And when you hear someone who is a preacher majoring on that, run away. Run away. Close your ears. Because you are going to be tossed to and fro. You are going to be moving everywhere with diverse doctrines. Your spirit will be polluted and you have troubles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But look at God's system. If you stay under authority and being taught, you, it will be difficult for you to be moved by diverse and strange doctrines. It will be difficult. Glory to God. It will be difficult. This is why God plants us in local churches. Listen, the local church is important to God. You can't steal on your own. You can't. You shouldn't. There should be a church in the city that fits you. There should be a pastor in the city that is anointed enough to pastor you. Amen. If you can't, that means God is trying to tell you to start your own church. I'm serious. Glory to God. God has an order. Hallelujah. Selah, is it sinking? Glory to God. I say, beware of teachers that claim to be the only correct thing happening in town. Be very aware. You remember in 3 John chapter 1 verse 9, John talked about one very strange guy. And he used certain expressions. Because of our time, we won't go there. Used certain expressions. And he said, this guy's problem, just put it up. 3 John chapter 1 verse 9. He used certain expression that showed that, look, most times when people want to sound like they are the only correct thing in town, they have a complex. Diotrephes, you remember? Diotrephes, they are written Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them. The Greek word means someone who always loves to be first and does everything to want to be first, to create an image in the heart of the people. So what did he do? He wanted to create a sect for himself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he wasn't commended. He wasn't commended at all. Hallelujah. He called it prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbidded them that would, and casted them out of the church. You see that too. That's a picture of people. Those are the things to be careful about. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting blessed? Is somebody getting blessed? Fifth characteristics of babyhood. You know, as we are saying these things, just for you to hear and adjust. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Fifth characteristics. Babies are easily offended. Irritability. 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 Babies are what? Easily offended. Easily irritable. They cannot stand the firmness of leadership. Glory to God. They cannot stand the firmness of training, of correction. They can't. In fact, did you know this is why many people... Listen, like I said, as you hear these things, make adjustments. Glory to God. Make adjustments. There are people, I told you the second kind of babies. Those ones who have stayed for long but have refused to grow. In fact, one of the challenges with some of those Christians is this irritability. They cannot stand the firmness of correction. They have refused to be weaned from milk. They have refused. Oh, you try to be firm on them, they have changed church. They can't stand it. Why? They are still on milk. Easily irritable. Easily offended. Why did that usher talk to me like that? Is it not because of church? If not because of church, well, easily irritable. They have not allowed the love of God govern their hearts, their minds, their thoughts towards the brethren. Listen, when you allow the love of God to govern your thoughts towards the brethren, you understand that, look, they have limitations. You make excuses for them. The Bible says, Lord, cover us with a multitude of sins, of offense. You just find, well, maybe this guy woke up on the right side, on the wrong side of the bed. Maybe. You just find a way around it. Irritability. You touch them little, they started crying. Babies. In pediatrics, there's what we call irritability from, what's the second one again? All the practicing doctors. And I know there were two. I can't remember now. When the child is crying with a cause, and when the child is crying without a cause. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Letting the love of God govern you. That's how babies are. And you can't stay that way. You can't say, listen, you read it to Apostle Paul. People must have rule over you. Let me bring your attention. He said two things. Hearing them teach you, which is nice. But he says to really grow, you have to cross from just hearing the pastor teach nicely to coming under authority. Glory to God. Where you can stand the firmness of being weaned off me. You remember, I'm sure you've noticed, when you are weaning a child off me, they cry a lot. True of us. There's a lot of crying, a lot of agitations, a lot. But they have to be weaned. They have to be weaned. You know, sometimes when I relate with those, I know they are just coming into these things. You are just kept, you are not in church on Sunday. Pastor, I was tired in the morning. I had a very busy weekend. I decided to rest on Sunday morning. You just know. You know, sometimes I was just going to say, yeah, I hope you rested well. Hope. I'll just manage it there and hoping they'll receive sufficient word. Oh, hope you rested well. You're fine. There's a time where you should not be able to look at me and say you were resting on Sunday morning. Is something wrong with you? Or look at your pastor. I'm serious. The man should look you in the eye and say, are you fine? Are you okay? Glory to God. Glory to God. But see, there's a stage where people, wow, when you tell them you're resting on Sunday morning, don't you? You're supposed to be in church. So I can't some of the rest. If somebody is tired, even the Lord rested on the seventh day. Quoting scriptures. Grow some more. Hallelujah. Grow some more. Grow some more. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to childhood very quickly in the short time I have. Let me hope to press some things in. Then we'll get ready for second service. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting blessed? Are you learning something? All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Very quickly, Paul talks about the childhood phase. Just put it up for me. Ephesians, yeah. He said that we henceforth be no more children. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the slaying of men and their cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So he talks about children, okay, being tossed to and fro by what people say. So the number one characteristics, and listen, you must be challenged to grow. You must be challenged to keep growing. That's what I'm doing with these teachings. I'm challenging you to grow. You cannot be at the same spot for 5 years, for 2 years, for 1 year, for 6 months. You can't. You can't. The first characteristic of childhood phase is instability. Instability. Write it. Children are not stable. Have you ever tried to get a child to get committed in doing something? 2-year-old, 3-year-old, unsteadiness. You cannot count on a child for commitment. You can't.
They cannot keep at something for a long time. They have wavering allegiance, unstable commitments. You can't count on them to be committed to a task for long. That's a child. Even your office, your boss cannot depend on you. You are a child. You may have a master's degree. They can't give you an assignment and you follow through. You are still a child. A child in a man's body. A child in a lady's body. Unstable. No steadiness on a task. No commitment can be required. No staying on something for long. God gives him a prophetic word. Gives a prophetic word. She prophesying, oh, pastor, pray this over me. 1 month, it's as though nothing's happened. He said, this thing does not work. I don't know. All this seed sowing, all this service in the house of God, all this confession of the world, all this thing, is this Christianity itself. I don't even know again. God, are you there? Are you seeing what I'm going through? You have to grow. I'm challenging. You may not like me. I'm not a guest minister. Amen. I'm your pastor. Amen. Be challenged to grow. That unsteadiness. Listen. As you grow, you know something about commitment. Ability to be committed to God's work. Ability to be committed to God's word. To stay focused. Not wavering. To stand with God, judging him faithful, and do what is required until the manifestation comes. Children don't understand that. They say, God told me to start this business, but it's as though it's not working. Hey, God told you, and he says, as though it's not working. Stay until it works. Who are you forgetting in the dark what God told you in the light? And I used to laugh at some people. After they start relationship and tell you all the encounters and the story, then after 6 months, I say, pastor, we're not doing it again. I say, madam, what happened? God has changed his mind. God has changed his mind. Or now you find out that he does it. Let me not say certain things. Listen, let me tell you, in life, it doesn't matter what God told you. If you like, see God come down with ladder. Ladder, I say, my son, my daughter, this shall be so. You will have to stay. You have a responsibility to be steady. Yes, sir. To be stable. To follow through. Children cannot follow through. Imagine sending a child from here to go and pick something, 2 years to go and pick something from the children's church for you. Or from that. On the way, many things can happen. That's if they don't end up. Hallelujah. Is somebody with me this morning? I'm challenging us to grow. Can we count on you for commitment? Commitment to the gospel. Commitment to ministry. You know, people have to be taught. You see, one of the reasons you have to deal with this instability will affect your growth. It will slow down your growth. And let me talk in context of the local church now. Children are the ones who are not stable in church. They are church members, but they are not stable. Instability. There's no sense of commitment. I told one day, I said, just assume that me too, I woke up in the morning, I said, I'm not coming to church today. Let me just go and have fellowship with that, the Lord's Gardens Church over there. That's true. No sense of commitment. Listen, you should be taught to stay at home when you were a child. Was that not what you were taught? This week, you went for Thanksgiving. For marriage Thanksgiving. Next week, you went for baby dedication. The other week, you went for special ministration. You know, there's this fellowship that just sends the call of God on my life. Glory to God. Stability. They should count on you for commitment.
your pastor should know that you always show up on Sunday. Are you listening to me? But beyond that, they should know that, listen, when you are giving this to do, or you say, okay, you want to volunteer to do this, you can follow. Is somebody following me? That character of being committed, it comes with spiritual maturity. As you were growing, you were taught to stay at home and giving things to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Very important. Very important. They can't take responsibilities. In church, in the workplace, in the neighborhood. Say, I'm growing. Shout it out. Say, I'm growing. And I'm committed to my growth. Say, I'm growing. And I'm committed to my growth. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Can we rise to our feet very quickly? If you can, you can stay for second service. If you can, we'll talk about, we are entering the call now. We'll talk about ingredients for growth. Ingredients for growth.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.